I'm Brian McCreath. I'm here with James Burton, the BSO Choral Director here at Symphony Hall. And James, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with me today.
Always a pleasure. Lovely to see you again.
Well, these two Schumann pieces that are being done for Leipzig Week in Boston, Neujahrslied and Nachtlied, these are not common, as I discovered when I went to find recordings of them, and there aren't many. And so I wonder whether you knew these pieces already when they were programmed, or when they were programmed, you discovered them.
I discovered them. And that's a lovely thing about collaborative relationships in music. I've found throughout my life, you discover other people's musics and learn and enjoy those. And this is a great example for us. In the chorus, I think I did ask them when we started rehearsals, I think three of the singers had sung the Nachtlied before, and none of them had sung the Neujahrslied. So it's lovely to have a chance to discover new pieces, albeit by composers with which you may be more familiar with their other more well-known works.
And as I'm learning, I think, the Nachtlied is the more commonly done
of
these two. The Neujahrslied, I don't know how often it's done at all, your experience in talking to the TFC members certainly indicates that it's not very common.
No, and I think that's a fair reflection of the pieces, actually, without meaning to be at all critical, because I think the Neujahrslied is fabulous, but it's the sort of work which you wouldn't want to hear all the time. It's sort of ceremonial and an occasional work. It's not every time. It's not very often a coronation comes around, you know.
Well, as an Englishman, you know.
You should know. And whereas the Nachtlied has a more mysterious quality, is more romantic, I think, in its sort of musical firmament. And that appeals, I think, to the imagination more. And I think maybe because it's slightly more straightforward, it may be easier to program as well.
And that combination certainly suits a week like this with the BSO, because it's sort of a big week, launching Leipzig Week here, or this alliance between the Gewandhaus Orchestra and the BSO. So that occasional music may be called for, and at the same time, Nachtlied being that more mysterious sort of romantic, having those romantic roots, takes us to that time that Schumann lived in Leipzig and was a friend of Mendelssohn, and that's what was going on in the air at that time.
Absolutely. I hear Mendelssohn's influence in both of these pieces, actually. Calm Sea and Prosperous Voyage, I feel, has got some kind of shadow with Nachtlied. And the nature of the Neujahrslied as a more of a cantata, it feels slightly churchy, and it's not a sacred text until the end, when the chorale comes in blazing in the bass, and then the entire chorus sings the chorale melody, Nun danket alle Gott.
And that's Now Thank We All Our God.
That's right. It's probably one of the more familiar Lutheran hymns, and appears in Bach's works and so on. And that appearance at the end really roots this piece in the Mendelssohnian oratorio tradition, the Second Symphony of Mendelssohn. It's got similar scales of sections. There's a little passage of recitative in the middle of this for the bass soloist. There's a little duet for the ladies at the beginning, which sounds straight out of a Mendelssohn church cantata type piece. But I think there's a lot in it, and it's really fantastic to get the opportunity to explore these works. I think we're very lucky to have the members of the Tanglewood Festival Chorus sing with the BSO, and as the BSO can explore its programs, we've got this chorus with us, and so we don't have to do the great choral works of Brahms and Bach all the time. We've got the opportunity to offer our audience more occasional music, and therefore, for them who our audience may have heard the Brahms Requiem maybe many times, it's not easy to program this sort of music for other choruses who need to draw in an audience to hear their once in a 6 months concert. So for us to offer this music, I think, is really important, and that will come up in other programs next season, where we're able to offer pieces which your average choir just will never get to sing. And that's a really special thing about being a member of this chorus.
Yeah. Just getting back to the music itself for a minute. I come out of an orchestral background, and so I'm really familiar with the Mendelssohn symphonies and the Schumann symphonies. And just to keep that comparison alive here, as you're talking about hearing Mendelssohn in Schumann's choral work, the symphonic writing is really distinct. You hear Mendelssohn and you kind of know that's Mendelssohn, and Schumann has a very different character. I always like to think of Schumann as often zigging when you think it's going to zag. He's got all these curveballs thrown in that are really fun and very different from any other composer. Are there distinctive elements of Schumann's choral writing compared to Mendelssohn or others, something that sets it apart from others?
I'm not so sure, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the things which spring to mind as you ask me that are the more Wagnerian style of vocal utterance in the Nachtlied, where the chorus and the orchestra have more rhapsodic sort of music. There are little solo-like lines which appear during the final section of the Nachtlied when the call to sleep happens over and over again. But there's little wisps of beautiful melodies, which, I mean, they even sound like Richard Strauss, actually, to my ear. And there are moments which sound very Brahmsian too. And I've been wondering, actually, I don't know, but I wondered if Brahms knew Nachtlied, because it seems that to me that the most similar piece in the repertoire is the Song of Destiny of Brahms, which isn't a recognized text. It's a very romantic form. It's like a tone poem for orchestra, but it includes a poem and a chorus. And it has different sections, but it also has this mysterious quality as well, which you get in abstract orchestral music. So I hear that as one side of his writing, but actually it's very different writing in the Neujahrslied. It seems much more as if there's more imitative writing in the choral entries, where one part comes in and then you hear another singing the same melody, perhaps up a fifth or imitating it in some way. And that's the sort of music that you would be writing for your church music exam, if you like. It's more written for the academy, whereas the Nachtlied is more rhapsodic and open and free, I feel.
And so when it comes to actually executing this music on the part of the choir, your work in preparing them, what have you found to be the challenges that are greatest for the choir? It sounds like for each piece, those challenges are going to be quite different.
They are. And the one of the challenges for us is, of course, to become familiar with the text and for it to become easy and familiar to utter the words and make sense of them. The challenge, the bigger challenge has been the Neujahrslied, where there is just so much text and it flies by at a rate of knots, and just to get your tongue around it, it's pretty tricky. And therefore the textures can sound quite busy with lots of, as I was saying, imitative entrances. So in the Nachtlied, the choir sings more at the same time, homophonically. And so there's much more of a feeling that the choir is one body, and rather than the sounds of the Neujahrslied, which I think have their roots in Schütz and the Bach Passions, which have a little bit of the sort of the crowd about them, therefore the ceremonial aspect and the cries of Heil and celebratory things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Without giving away specific details, which aren't available yet, what do you see as the BSO choral director as the opportunities of the Leipzig Gewandhaus BSO Alliance?
Well, the Alliance, I think, is just a brilliant idea, and it's very typical of the atmosphere in which we work here, which is collaborative, and I'm sure we're trying to experiment all the time while engaging our audience and bringing them along our journeys with us. And I think having a chorus like the TFC with us means that we can attempt these pieces and present them where it would be more difficult to do that if it was just an orchestra. In a way, I'd love to feel that there is no end to collaborative possibilities in terms of particularly the slant of commissioning, which is just a brilliant idea. and a natural thing because it's happening all the way around the world where orchestras are collaborating on joining a commission and having a composer's work presented in different places. Some maybe it's successful in one and not in the other. But for a composer, that's so important for their work to be heard, to be presented at the highest possible quality of orchestral playing, and for an audience to then hear it, and for that composer to be presented, and therefore for their career to progress and so on. I think that's a wonderful aspect to this. And of course, with Leipzig, the beauty is, of course, this is a great choral center stretching all the way back to the Renaissance. So there are no ends of ideas that we could come up with 20 just sitting here. So I'm going to be looking forward to meeting my colleagues from Leipzig this week and having conversations. And you never know. I mean, lots of things happen in the corridors of the BSO. And it's lovely to, at a concert, when you see audience members greet each other, they haven't seen each other for a while. And it's the same thing with the musicians, when actually it's that little 2 minutes in the corridor which leads to an idea which bears fruit in 6 months' time.
Yeah. And now you're having been in Boston for about a year. I think it's been just almost exactly a year since you arrived here as the BSO choral director, which is great. And I wonder, what have you learned, or what is the biggest surprise even about the musical life of Boston that you have come across?
I'm not sure about surprise, but one of the things which is so lovely is to have come across so many willing collaborators and other groups and be introduced to people and to their music, and to find that there's good opera going on here, there's great early music, and we're in a city where there is so much activity, which actually really is culture. And if activity is allowed to slip away and the audience isn't excited about that, then it doesn't matter if you're working at the symphony or a local parish church choir. Everything has to speak to each other and connect. And so it's lovely for me to get to know our chorus here and to talk to them about their singing elsewhere. They're singing in lots of different choirs around the city and across Massachusetts. So it's wonderful to be in a place where music is beloved and has a great respect for it as an art form. And that's not always the case everywhere you go, and you feel like you're sort of banging on a drum for what you're doing. But here there's a great sense of pride in especially what the BSO is doing, which is so lovely to be caught up in and then help steer it on its next chapter of its development. And it's just brilliant to be involved. I've loved every minute of it.
Did you love the minutes that you were on stage with Holiday Pops? Tell me about that.
Oh, Holiday Pops is,
tell me about that.
Is a thing of its own sort of, it's a sort of different breed of music making. I wonder how many of your listeners this evening will have ever been to a Holiday Pops show. I don't know what the audience crossover is.
Yeah.
But again, what's lovely to discover is that there is this very large audience. There are something like 40 concerts performed in the first few weeks of December up to Christmas Eve by the Boston Pops. And our chorus takes part and has a major role to play in all of those concerts. And I think we sung to over 80,000 people live, let alone there was a broadcast audience as well. Yeah. So that, you know, for any choir to have an audience of 80,000 is very, very wonderful, just for the art of singing. It's great that people are there in a seat listening to it and going crazy at the end. It's lovely. And my experience of coming on stage and conducting some of the shows was really lovely, and the audience supported me, which was very nice with my funny accent, and it was great because we actually did an orchestral setting of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, so that was very nice to have an English sort of Christmas, a very familiar Christmas story being set to music. But what's interesting also is that the repertoire is different, and the Christmas concerts which I've done in the UK before are They're a bit softer. Just the general dynamic level is just quieter. There's a little bit more manger and angels, and there's a little less rum bum bum. I don't know what the technical terms are, but just make a magnificent sound, and it's just lovely to work with Keith Lockhart and to tie all that up. And we even got to do the snowman this Christmas for the children's matinees, which is such a special, beautiful little film. And we had two young boys come and share the performances of that from the St. Paul's Choir in Harvard Square. And they're singing there every day, and they came over in their spare time to sing the snowman with the symphony, which is lovely.
James Burton, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with me. I really appreciate it.
Great to see you again, Brian.